You're listening to the Move to Value podcast, powered by Chess Health Solutions. The Move to Value podcast is dedicated to helping healthcare providers understand and make the transition into value-based care. We do this through conversations and the sharing of innovative ideas with practitioners, experts, and leaders throughout the healthcare industry. Our mission is to sustainably transform the healthcare experience for the patient, provider, and care team by cultivating a value-oriented, compassionate, and health-aligned community. In this episode, we continue our interoperability conversation with Chess Vice President of Health Informatics, Mark Dunnigan. Last time, we focused on the importance of shared data in value-based care and the need to overcome any barriers. Today, we talk about the logistics of interoperability and the modernization of data exchange. Mark, last time we left off talking about data exchange. There always seems to be ongoing conversations in this topic about APIs. Do you feel like more improvement in APIs could be a potential solution?
I do. I use the metaphor of a quiver of arrows quite often when describing, you know, interoperability. I think, you know, it's my job as, you know, the head of a team that must figure out how to get data and get it in a timely fashion and in a way that fulfills our contractual obligations and our obligations to the patient. I think APIs is one more arrow in the quiver. You know, it gives us a programmatic way to access, you know, large volumes of complex data, but it's not necessarily the only way. You know, when we sign on a health system, let's say, to one of our ACOs, you know, I can pretty much rest assured that they're using one of a small number of vendors, and you know, those vendors are fully capable of producing certain constructs that my team can consume. Same with most payers, although, you know, the outputs may differ certainly. But as I work my way down the chain, particularly in working with ambulatory clinics and whatnot, you know, last time I checked, there were over 200 EMRs here in my home state of North Carolina, each one of those with a slightly different interpretation of certain standards. Not all of them have viable API interfaces. You know, not all of them have the same way of communicating with them. So I have to be open to old school HL7, which is kind of the equivalent of opening up a channel and typing over it. I have to be open to flat file exchange. I have to be open to various forms of XML, JSON. It truly depends on what that endpoint can offer. So again, APIs are extremely valuable, but they're not the only tool that a team like mine has to be able to wield to be interoperable, to be successful in the exchange of healthcare data.
Interesting. So as someone who's spent a career in the data and informatics space, can you share how these analytic tools help control the cost of healthcare?
There's many answers to this. I would say, again, I'll draw back to what we do, which is value-based services. You know, I need to know when something happens, and I need to be able to inform our performance improvement teams and so that they can communicate with the providers. I need to inform the care managers when something of interest, when someone has checked into a hospital, someone has sought, you know, specialty care outside of network, when someone has been discharged. They need to know that, and I need to inform them, you know, not only that it's happened, but give them enough descriptive information that they can intervene appropriately. I would go further to say that I need to glean enough good information, or rather my team has to be able to accumulate and collate enough information to get ahead of what might be coming. You know, we're making some very powerful strides, you know, not only in, you know, intelligently stratifying our population to kind of know who to intervene with first, but also in quantifying rising risk and rising costs. Who do we think, based on what we're seeing happen now, what do we think is going to happen to them tomorrow? And can we get ahead of that in time to affect that? Can we keep them out of the hospital? Do we know that there's a costly intervention or a fall coming? And can we intervene or get them some community-based services in time? So, you know, it's a large part of what we do. And again, something that, at least on the value side, we have to contemplate every day.
Do you think that this whole system would be better if payers had access to provider data and providers had access to the payer data?
It's a sticking question. I think the altruistic Mark thinks that everybody should know everything. And yet, when you start to bring in, you know, let's call it business motivations, the inevitable pursuit of profit, you know, healthcare organizations, though altruistic in nature, still have to compete to survive. They still have to make money. So they're still going to be hesitant to share information where they think they might lose clients. And I think there's still the thought that, you know, if you share everything about someone, particularly genetic testing or very sensitive conditions, that payers might use that to decide who to include in their roles and who not to. I'll be honest with you, it's a gray area. I think, again, altruistically, I do think everyone should share everything. But where profitability, human nature, and whatnot come into play, I would say that it's a gray area where I would yield to our chief compliance officer for, you know, truly the right answer, because I'm not sure I have it.
Well, Mark, we've talked a lot about our current state of interoperability. Let's talk about how data exchange has been modernized in the last few years. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about where we were, where we are now, and where we're inevitably going. What does the future hold for us?
Well, I'm going to have an interesting answer to this, because for someone that was on the bleeding edge for so long, you know, I do believe in the value of the CCDAs. I do believe in the evolution to FHIR, F-H-I-R, not F-I-R-E, you know, and API-driven exchanges. I do believe that's where we need to be. But I get a lot of value in kind of the commoditized, simplistic exchanges of the past. You know, we still maintain, and I'll proudly state this, you know, meat and potatoes forms of flat file exchanges. You know, they are easily set up, easily replicated, and, you know, again, fairly commoditized skills where it's, you know, straightforward to staff up with respect to those types of feeds. I would say we are very open to some of the more modern constructs and API-driven exchanges and things like this, but they're not always in demand, because in order for them to truly work, you have to have skills on both sides of that conversation. So I would say, again, to the quiver of arrows, you have to be open to all. You know, I look forward to, you know, a fairly self-maintaining, build it once and use it a million times over API-driven exchange. But that's not my reality. And, you know, particularly with respect to, you know, our move or Chess's move into supporting Medicaid here in North Carolina, it's not the reality. You know, the payer-based exchanges are all flat files. And when I'm trying to integrate with a small mom-and-pop shop that's just trying to do the right thing by, you know, some of the less fortunate populations they serve, they don't necessarily have the best of EHRs, you know. And I have to get to that data in the best way that I can. So, again, you know, if we were all able to speak the same language and all had the facilities and the depth of bench to achieve that, which is the tip of the spear of modern sustainable interoperability, I would say that's fantastic. But the reality is that it's all over the map. So while we seek that fixed point on the horizon, I have to handle everything in between.
You're right. That is surprising, but it does make a lot of sense. Mark, tell me, what is the ultimate goal of interoperability?
I mean, for me, it's that altruistic exchange about everything to do with a patient's health. I would love a world where, you know, whole person care is a reality, and where you can openly exchange everything from potentially Mark's struggles with substance abuse to Mark's behavioral health challenges to, you know, Mark's being overweight and challenges that, you know, there's a million different things that, you know, in and of itself are sensitive within certain silos that I would love to be openly exchanged, and know that that is not to the detriment of Mark's future insurability, to him being able to sign up for a new provider should he be relocated to, you know, a number that a skilled nursing facility 50 years from now or 30 years from now would take me in, knowing full well that, you know, things that have happened to me during my lifetime. So, you know, I hope for whole person care. I hope for the open exchange. But, you know, again, there are some realities to the modern world that are probably going to continue to be barriers for some time yet.
Well, Mark, is there anything that I've neglected to ask that is important to this conversation today that you'd like to share?
Interoperability means so many different things to many different people. It's effectively a four-letter word. I think, you know, we've kind of skimmed the surface of what interoperability means to me. I mean, we could talk like this for hours on end, for days on end. But, you know, I would just close with, you know, it's an important concept. And again, with the conversation of a metaphor, the metaphor of a conversation, rather, that it's part of everything that we do. And as you know, value-based care is here to stay, and particularly to value. We need to know and then communicate out to care teams and to providers. We need to know what happens to our patients as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And in the same way, we need to communicate that data, our insights, our predictions based on the same in order to see that those patients are cared for appropriately. I mean, value-based care, at least from my simplistic view, is the path to containing healthcare spend. It's the path to kind of squeezing what you can out of existing workflows, encouraging new workflows, and you know, stem the rising tide of cost. And you know, we need the open exchange of data, or at least as open as it can be, in order to do our jobs. So I hope that's a good answer.
It's outstanding. Mark Dunnigan, thank you for joining us today on the Move to Value podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Thomas.
This is the Move to Value podcast, powered by Chess Health Solutions. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. If you would like more information about this and other episodes, you can head over to movetovaluepodcast.com to check out all of the available resources. If you're interested in continuing to hear about value-based care and how it impacts you, you can sign up for our email notifications or subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. Also, we would love it if you would share the Move to Value podcast across your networks and leave a rating or review. Thanks for listening.